Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the one we gather around this day, the one who feeds us, invites us to the feast. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today, Matthew 22, this great parable of the king and his banquet. We pray, Lord, remind us that we cannot live on mere bread alone. The things of this world, they do not really give life. But we live on every word that comes from your holy mouth. For you have the words of eternal life, the words of faith and forgiveness and grace and mercy. We pray that you give us that word now, that we feast upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I plan to go. How about you? I can't wait to go. How about you? Raise your hand if you plan to go. Do you have any idea where you're going? Who has no idea what I'm talking about? Maybe you do. I hope you do. Well, it's right there in the gospel reading that I just read right among you. It's very clear. What a marvelous, gracious, loving invitation from the King of Kings. This isn't Queen Elizabeth. This isn't William and Kate. But the King of Kings lays out the invitation. See, I prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered. There's already death that's taken place. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. So who plans to go? Yes. Well, what exactly is this feast? We need to know what the feast is if we really plan to go. Well, the feast, full scale, we would say, is certainly paradise. It's certainly heaven, where Christ himself often talks of heaven, as in the parable, as a feast. And elsewhere, Jesus says, people from the north, the south, the east, the west, were gathered at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and feast with God and the angels forever and ever. Heaven often is compared to as a feast, and certainly that is part of the parable. But are we feasting today? Christian worship, what we're doing right now, this is the feast. For the king is here, and the angels are here, the archangels are here, and the saints are indeed with us, because wherever God is, there's heaven. And so we have the holy word from our king, and we have the body and blood of Jesus, and we feast on the words of life, on the sacrament of life and forgiveness and grace. So this is the feast. God calls us and invites us here. And this, we would say, is the same feast as the feast in heaven, but just kind of the appetizer. We're at the feast, but not full scale. We're kind of on the outside. Jeff Kaiser got married to Emily. The Kaiser, congratulations to them today. And they had a great feast, a banquet. And you could look in the windows and see the feast. And so if you're outside or on the surrounding area, you're at the feast, but maybe not exactly at the feast if you're not inside and actually eating. But you're there, but maybe not quite there. And that's worship. We are there with God. He's here, but we're not fully at the head table in heaven. So God invites us to heaven, but he invites us here. And why should we come? The parable is about the reasons why we should come. And I'll give you three reasons why we come here and certainly to heaven. And the first reason is kind of a negative reason. It's a secondary reason and yet a reason nonetheless. Listen closely. We come because we will burn if we don't come. The rage of the rejected king stands out in the parable. The king is very gracious. He prepares a fabulous feast, and it is wonderful, oxen and calves. And he sends out two invitations, not just one. He invites the initial crowd, which is the people of Israel, the Jews. He invites them twice. Now, this is unheard of for a king to do this. No king has to invite twice. He's king. If he invites you, go. He doesn't have to plead with you. But this king is so humble and nice and kind. He wants us there. He's so patient and he's so loving and so forgiving. I'll invite you again and again and again and send more servants to invite you. I really want you here. And yet the people reject him and they kill his servants and they have other things to do. They have business and work to do. This is the king's invitation. The king says, you don't dare say no to the king. And so after time, the king's patience runs out and he says he's going to send an army and kill those people and burn their city. And this is no mere threat from God. God's the king. The son is Jesus. When does he burn the city? Well, we could see a partial fulfillment of this in 70 AD. Jesus teaches the parable around 33 AD. So roughly 40 years later, the Roman army comes to Jerusalem, and the Roman army burns the city and kills many people. And that is the judgment of the king against the Jews who reject him. You've rejected the king, slapped the king in the face, and so I burn your city in judgment. But more so than just 70 AD and the Roman army burning Jerusalem, it's a picture of the last day. And oh, how patient the king is. He's waiting and waiting for people to come to the feast. It's been 2,000 years. He doesn't want to burn anybody. He still invites today, still pleads, come to the feast. But on that final day, we all know the world will be burned in fire. And hell's a picture of fire. If you don't honor the king and bow down before the king and trust the king and his love and grace and love the king, if he's not your king, you're going to be your own king. And that's what the people are saying. We don't want him as our king. We want to be our own king. You don't bow down to Christ as king and love him and worship him, you'll be rejected. Burned. So one reason to come to the feast is I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be burned. I won't slap this king in the face. I won't play with his mercy and his patience. You never guess what I've been eating the last month or two. You just never guess what I've been eating. It's called flax seed. Pastor Busher and flax seed. Now, do I eat flax seed because it just tastes so good? I don't eat it because I like it. It gets in between my teeth. It's hard to eat. I have to put it on yogurt. I don't like yogurt a whole lot either. Why do I eat it? Well, some doctor said it's really healthy for you. It lowers cholesterol and it's really healthy for your heart. It's a kind of a wonderful thing God gave. So I eat flaxseed. Even though I don't really want to, I eat it. And we do a lot of things like that. Like we do them. We take medicines. We don't like it, but we do it for our health. We seem to do all that except maybe church. You don't feel like coming because you're a sinner and so am I. I don't feel like being here. Sometimes I'm a sinner. You don't feel like hearing the word and feasting. Come anyway. For your heart health and your eternal health. To receive forgiveness of sins. And the gift of God's Spirit and strength for your faith and rest for your soul. Don't be too busy. But there's better reasons. A much, much better reason to come to the feast is that the king provides the best feast there ever is. This king is not cheap. He doesn't throw together a real small scale feast and cheap and come real quick. I'll throw it all together and just come. This is no cheap small scale feast. Notice the king himself prepares it. He does not have servants prepare it. It says the king made preparations. This is how important it is. The king himself made preparations for us to feast. Wow. And three things that are the best we're ever going to get. We get the best food at this feast. The best food. My oxen and fattened calves have been slaughtered. And we read in Isaiah, the finest of wines. Not some cheap $5 bottle of wine, but the finest of wines. We get the best food in heaven. Whatever that food is, it's going to be the best. Oxen, fattened calves, steak, filet mignon, T-bone, porterhouse, whatever you want, and the finest of wines. But certainly these things, the oxen and fattened calves and wine, they all point us to Christ. He's our food. Christ is the oxen that was slaughtered at the cross. He's the fatted calf that was slaughtered. His wine is the blood that we drink today. It's Christ. He's the bread of life, the wine of life. He is life, the food of life. Come and partake. The best food, the food that forgives sins. The food that leads to immortality, the resurrection of the body, that's what we get today. And we don't want to come. We partake of Christ himself and resurrection and power and strength over all hell. And you got something better to do than that? Really? No wonder why the king after a while is enraged. the best food. He gives the best clothing too. The last part of the parable is a bit odd. The one guy is there without the wedding clothes on, and the king sees that and throws him out and binds him up. It seems a little bit of an overreaction, we would say, from a human viewpoint. We need to understand this is also grace on the part of the king. The king back in that day would often send out wedding garments to his guests because he knew they were poor and they couldn't look good enough in his presence. They weren't royal and didn't look good enough. So he'd give them a garment purely out of his grace. You didn't have to buy it. He'd bring it to you and give it to you. And you were to wear it. And there's a sense of equality so that the poor aren't ashamed of their clothing and the rich don't gloat, look at me, kind of like the Hollywood red carpet. They always compare the ladies' dresses. Who cares? We're all equal. We're all sinners clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. The clothing here is a picture of baptism. You have communion in the story and baptism. Where in baptism, we sinners are clothed in the very righteous life of Christ and His good life, His good deeds. We're clothed in that. And so then we are worthy before the king because we're clothed in Jesus. And so to reject that piece of clothing, which this man does, is a great insult to the king. It's saying to the king, I can stand on my own. I don't need your lousy garment. I don't need the death of your son to give it to me either. I stand on my own. Here's all my good works, my good life. Accept me, king. And no wonder why the king just throws him out and says, tie him up and bind him. How dare he reject my grace and my clothing? And this is the one that rejects holy baptism and rejects holy absolution, thinks he or she can stand before God by himself or herself. I'm good enough. I don't need the church. Don't need a pastor. Don't need communion in the word. I'm good enough. Read about what happens to this guy. Be clothed in the righteous robes that God gives you in your baptism. And tightens on you in absolution. He tightened the clothing a little bit today. Ah, you're clothed. You're forgiven. I see Jesus when I see you and you're washed. And we have the best company too. Best food, best clothing, and the best company. We get to eat with the king. The king doesn't go off and eat in his own little private room with dark windows so you can't see him and he can maybe see you if he wants to. He's over here in the corner somewhere by himself. He eats with his people. And his son eats with the people. What company? What ought to draw the people of God as the king of the universe is right here in his house. And then there's a final reason why we come. We don't want to be burned. That's law. But the law is the law. A better reason, the best food, the best clothing, the best company, the grace of the king. The final reason is almost in a way better. At this reception, at this feast, First Lutheran, listen closely, at this feast, we are the bride. We're the bride of the son who gets married in the parable. Notice precisely what the feast is. It's the reception for his son who obviously is getting married. So you have a king who's preparing a feast, a reception for his son who's getting married. And the parable begs the question, well, just who is the bride? We are the bride. The king is God the Father. The son is Jesus. We're the bride. And what bride misses her wedding reception? I don't want to go to that stupid thing. Let me do something else. The bride is the focus of the wedding reception. She loves the wedding reception. And we are the bride of the son. Christ married us at Calvary's cross. Think of Christmas as when Jesus engaged us. Christmas, God came and put a ring, a diamond ring. I want you. I love you. The cross is the marriage ceremony. He's not dressed real well. Hardly dressed at all. Dressed in his own blood. As he says, I love you. I want you. Be mine forever. I vow to be your God forever. The God of salvation and forgiveness. The cross is the marriage of Christ and his bride, the church. And after a wedding, there's the reception. And that's Christian worship and that's heaven. As I said, the bride's going to miss her own reception. When you have something other to do than Christian worship, and I realize there were times we're sick and so forth, but you're just like the excuses, I got business, I got things to do. You're the bride who has something else to do than come to her reception and be with her husband. Last question. What's the husband, what's the bridegroom like to do at a reception? I was married some 20, that's a bit, Ann, I don't even know, 20 whatever years. It's been a long time for her, a short time for me. The husband doesn't care about the food so much. He doesn't care about the cake. He doesn't care about pictures. He really doesn't care about pictures. He just wants to kiss his bride. And he loves it when the people clang the glass. Cling, cling, cling. And the wife's like, oh, we got to kiss again. And he's like, yeah. He wants to kiss his bride. And that's what the bridegroom Jesus loves to do here. He gives us a kiss. The absolution, when the pastor says, I forgive you, your sins, is a kiss of the bridegroom, Jesus. He kisses us, from his mouth. I forgive you, you're mine. Yes, you've went astray, but I forgive you. I love you. Be clothed in me again. I love you, church, you're mine. I'll never let you go. A kiss from Jesus. And the holy gospel that is preached and proclaimed, the word of God, is a kiss from the mouth of Jesus. I love you, first of all. I love you. I forgive you. Won't you be mine forever? I take you back when you stray. I love you so much. And holy communion, it's a long, great kiss. He puts himself to our mouths. My body, my blood, my kiss of peace. You are forgiven. You're clean. You're mine. Sometimes we're the bride who turns away and says, don't kiss me. Really? Think about it. If you came in late, you weren't paying attention, hear the great invitation. I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the feast. I plan to go. I'm here right now. So are you. Praise be to God. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.